Hey everyone, welcome to the How to Shoot Hybrid podcast from Your Story Studios. We are Jules and Lindsay, a husband and wife team of photographers, videographers and creative business owners. On this podcast, we discuss photography, videography, filmmaking and topics around building a successful and sustainable business. Sometimes we share things we have experienced or learned along our journey, and sometimes we speak with guests who share their experiences too. We want to build an open-minded community to learn and grow, and we hope you enjoy joining us. So, Linz, we're no longer called the Wedding Mavericks podcast.
I know. Past tense now.
I know. It was a difficult thing to change the name, like to decide to change the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
But by doing so, we just clarified the direction that we were going in naturally. As a business, but also with the podcast. And it just makes things a little bit clearer to help grow the podcast and make it easier to administrate moving forwards, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to listen to episode 62, we explain a little bit more about this. But going forwards, the home of the podcast will be on our main business website, and that is yourstorystudios.co.uk. And we will be using just one Instagram account for the podcast and in addition to our other business activities.
Yeah.
From like weddings to creative work and commercial stuff. So we hope you continue to join us. And if you're listening for the first time, we hope you want to stick around. If you've been getting some value from the podcast, it would honestly mean so much to us if you would rate and review. It will literally take you about 30 seconds right now. So please, if you're... can just go to wherever you get your podcasts, just do a quick rate. A review would be awesome, but even if you just rate it. Obviously, if you're driving, don't go do that because we'd be telling you to do something illegal. So only if it's legal, safe and convenient. But we'd really appreciate it.
Then please do.
So first things first.
Yeah. What on earth do we mean by hybrid? What is hybrid. This podcast all about? Is it vehicles? Do we mean sustainable in that respect?
Yeah, a Prius. We are a Prius. Although there are, I don't think there's any vehicles that aren't hybrid these days. But when vehicles first started, that was the Prius was the hybrid vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, you can interpret it in different ways. Hybrids essentially combining more than one element of something. So you could say that digital and film photography is a form of hybrid.
You could indeed.
You could. We're not going to be talking about that because, to be honest, film photography is not something that we have a vast experience of. Although I'd like to, I'm not really one of those people that's bothered about shooting film photography particularly.
Yeah.
But I'd like to have a play with it. I definitely like, you know, the thing that we got for Beth, the Instax.
Yeah.
Fuji Instax or whatever it's called thing. I quite like that. I think that's quite a cool thing to do as a fun thing. I actually thought it'd be really good to do that on a wedding day. And at the end of every wedding day, take that with us and have one of those with the couple. It was one of those ideas that I had. Took it with us a few times and just never remembered to do it. And sometimes it's a bit awkward, isn't it? Because you just want to get out of there at the end of the wedding and trying to get a photo with a couple of drunken people who it's hard enough to find to say goodbye to.
Yeah, I was going to say, because how many times when you go to sort of say goodbye, and that's how often they're together?
Not very often.
They'll have, by that point, the party's in full swing, people are dancing,
yeah,
and perhaps we're going to have to do other things separately by then.
Yeah. So I thought about that, but yeah, the idea of like taking a film camera to a wedding scares me, especially in the context of what we're going to be talking about now and how we kind of work at a wedding day when we're doing both photo and video. So what we're talking about when we say hybrid is we're talking about capturing still and moving images, as well as audio, and that's because audio is usually part of capturing video.
Yes.
We could be doing them together and incorporating them into the same project, you know, a wedding or whatever. It could be doing them as separate outputs. It could be as a solo person or as part of a team working together, all capturing photo and video throughout a job. I guess hybrid in its context is different from having like separate dedicated roles. So for example, you know, person A is the photographer and person B is the videographer, and then there's person C who's a videographer and person D who's a photographer, and they're essentially the second shooters on the day. That we wouldn't really say that was hybrid, although you could argue you're offering a hybrid service.
Yeah.
Even if you like subcontracting part of that out. So if any of those things, you know, covering whether it's a wedding or another type of work, if you're wanting to cover things where you're doing more than one service, particularly if you're doing photo and video. Mm-hmm. Although we will touch on other services like live streaming and other things that you can offer alongside, other types of media that you can offer alongside when you're creating content. You know, content creation is a word that I think means one thing in people's heads at the moment. They always think of like a YouTuber or a Instagrammer or something. Mm-hmm. But I think that the term content creation will actually become a term for anything where you're creating a form of visual or audiovisual content.
Yeah, I think that's been a term, content creation, that I know that we've actively used in the business for the past 3 years. Because I remember when we had the studio, thinking about what kind of the future was for the business at that point, we wanted to create a space whereby within that studio, we could there would be an invitation there, or we would try to attract clients that were not just from weddings, but sort of family-based work into that, but for businesses.
Yes.
And it was, you know, we were thinking down the lines of for businesses who didn't have an in-house marketing team with photographic or videography capability, but they want content created for their own online presence. That was something that we were actively discussing then. But I think, like you say, that kind of term, content creation, it's kind of taken on a new meaning recently, hasn't it?
Yeah, people think of some kind of influencer type person as a content creator. Although I think that content creation is an umbrella topic, an umbrella statement, you know, an umbrella term that is for anybody who is creating that type of content. So that's where I think that, you know, I do think the term content creator you might end up having, because one thing that we've seen recently, this is going off topic and I'm not going to delve into it, but is the term wedding content creator. That's like something that's come about in the last sort of 6 to 12 months that's now getting a lot of traction / a lot of discussion in groups and things about, now we're getting a photographer, a videographer and a content creator coming to the wedding. It's getting a bit crowded in there. And, you know, where is the distinction between these jobs? Because that content creator is going to be doing still and moving images. Yeah. So they're essentially a hybrid shooter, but they're typically going to be using their phones to do it. So, you know, that's currently the distinction between a photographer who's got a proper camera or a videographer who's got a proper camera and the content creator, is that they're using different equipment and they're definitely going to be working in a slightly different way. But honestly, if that's happening now, think about in a few years' time what that actually looks like. So if you're thinking hybrid, schmybrid, because you're not a fan of the idea of doing more than one service, that's a really good example of why this is a relevant discussion, why having a How to Shoot hybrid podcast is relevant. Because if these content creators grow and it becomes something that lots of couples are having, which is the indications is that's what's happening, especially the ones that have got a bit more money and they want the extra stuff, then how do we know we're not, you know, how do we know that doesn't just start trickling down to people that aren't spending as much on their weddings and they just go, oh, not going to get a photographer or a videographer. Yeah. I'm just going to have a content creator. Now, that's fine because that's separate and you might not want to offer that. But let's be honest, if you are needing to run a business, sometimes you've got to adapt. And you're going to hear a lot about that on this podcast, about innovation and adapting.
Absolutely. And I would just say as well that, you know, to kind of maybe as we sort of hopefully go along on this new journey now with the hybrid shooting podcast. There will be new people that join us and form part of the community. And I think for those of you that have already been with us on Wedding Mavericks, the term hybrid, I don't think it's not going to be something that's brand new to you. And I think so, just initially to kind of take the sting out of it for anyone new that's joining us, just have a think for a second. You will have, a number of you out there will have already adapted. You will have already pivoted, flexed, whatever you want to call it, during the last 3 years at some point, because you will have considered that you needed to give an additional dimension to the packages that you're offering to try to maintain a steady flow of income or to generate new types of income. As we've kind of navigated the last 3 years through COVID and now kind of cost of living crisis, you know, recession, that sort of thing, the change in people's kind of spending habits and the demands of the consumer that we're dealing with. And, you know, that's the whole wedding content creator thing, that's come out of a change in appetite from the consumers. So when we're talking about hybrid shooting for weddings, please, first of all, don't be intimidated by that and think, what is that? It's not relevant to me, or not interested in any of that. You know, for a lot of you out there, give yourselves a bit of credit, because you will have already considered crossing over into this, or you will have already considered adding services or adapting
what you've always offered to the changing requirements people have.
Yeah.
You know, whether that is like, we've always tried to do full days, haven't we? But it doesn't mean that you don't take a half day. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes a half day will make sense, you know, and especially through COVID, everybody was doing these micro weddings and everything. That's a form of adaptation. It just probably doesn't seem as big as adding a completely different skill set. But that's what we're going to be talking about through this particular episode and the subsequent episodes that are coming up, because we want to demystify some stuff and we want to give some context as to why this is actually a thing. And it's not a thing that's in the future. It's a thing that's here now. It's a thing that's happening. That's why we wanted to focus the podcast on this, because we know that this is a growth area and we know that people need this. Mm. You know, there's plenty of photography and videography podcasts out there, but this is focusing on an element that we know doesn't get talked about very much. It's almost a taboo topic, is offering both in some respects. So let's give a bit of context to our background. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know a little bit about us, but we're just going to kind of give the summary of us shooting both photo and video. So we've been offering both photography and videography as a combined service now since 2018. Mm-hmm. We've shot around 60 weddings where we've done both together, either as a husband and wife team or usually me as a solo shooter. Most of them are as a husband and wife team, because we are giving people full photography and videography. Mm-hmm. We're not giving them, you know, just a highlight film with some photography. We've been giving them, you know, different versions of over the years, because we've offered different packages. And obviously it depends on what the people book, how much they want to spend and what they want to receive at the end. But essentially, we have been offering full photography and videography services, including all of the audio, including full multicams of ceremony speeches, full photography, you know, everything covered in both photo and video, just the two of us. Or if, like, I've been doing them solo, not necessarily the full bag of mashings, but, you know, a good quality coverage. So we've also got around another 100 weddings under our belts, in addition to those 60, where we've been either shooting photography or videography on their own. So whether that's, again, as solo shooters, we've both done our own weddings. You know, sometimes the great thing about being a husband and wife team is if you do get two bookings on one day, not that we want to be doing them like that all the time, but in the past, particularly when we had to flex with COVID postponements and things like that, we have managed to be able to cover more than one wedding on a particular day, because we've got enough equipment, because we've invested in it to be able to do photo and video together, and we've been able to go and do more than one wedding on a day.
Yeah.
So we've shot solo doing video, we've shot solo doing photo. So we've got a good good amount of experience with the two different disciplines and doing them together. And we started out in videography back in 2017 as a business. I shot my first wedding in 2016, but that wasn't for money. That was just to see if I could do it and if I liked it. And then we started to offer photography too about a year later. As the lead shooter, I would say I'm confident and experienced in both photography and filmmaking now, and I really do see them as one function, just with slight like nuances. So I'll give you an analogy. I love driving cars. I love cars and driving. So I would compare capturing still images and filmmaking to driving different types of car in different situations. You know, it's the same skill set. Driving a car is the same no matter what car you're driving. Essentially, the way you control a car, the way a car will react to certain things, it's exactly the same. You know, and if you learn how to do those, that you can do it in different situations, but you just have to adapt your style. And so the way I see it is, you know, you don't learn a completely new thing between photography and videography. You just apply the skills that you have slightly differently. So how I drive my family car on the road with the kids in it is very different to the way I'm going to drive a different car on a track. I'm just, you know, just like driving a petrol car, you know, is different to driving an electric vehicle. You're still controlling the car, you just adapt to the circumstances and the goals that you've got for the journey. You know, I like my analogies, Lynn, so yeah, I had to come up with one. So to master hybrid, what you really want is to grasp of the differences between making a still image and making a film, and be able to innovate and adapt a style to flow between those two things. They're not completely separate. They all use the same principles of lighting and composition. They use similar things when it comes to how you light and how you use the camera. You know, you're not using, and now we're not using different equipment. We're driving the same cars. We're using the same cameras. You know, you're just using them slightly differently. So for something like a wedding where you're capturing a real live event, I mean, that capturing a live event is a skill set in itself, and one that is probably more important than mastering like theoretical filmmaking techniques or creating artistic looking images. Because when it comes to providing a great service to your client, what they really want to know is that you understand how a wedding works and that you're going to make sure you capture the bits that need capturing. So if you're a decent photographer, videographer, and you understand weddings and how to be in the right place at the right time and adapt to the situation as it unfolds, then you're probably going to find adapting to capturing hybrid easier than if you spend more time obsessing over perfection in each image that you try to make. That's not saying that that's bad or a wrong thing if that's what you do. If you like to make perfect images, I don't know how you can... Yeah, certainly you strive to make the best images you can at a wedding, but I don't know how you strive to make the perfect image every time at a wedding because so much of it is fast flowing. So unless you're shooting a portrait or unless you've got a lot of time where you can control things a little bit, typically a wedding is like bam, bam, bam. You don't get to say stop. You don't get to direct everything. You can't direct a ceremony.
I would say that... probably so this then, I think that we would find the hybrid shooters of you or the aspiring hybrid shooters will perhaps find that you will probably more easily, well, no, you will attract couples who don't want, who want a less editorial style and captured wedding
less
day.
Less intense.
Less intense, less kind of... directed and posed images or film that will be their end product. I would say that those couples perhaps are not the couples that you will find that when you market this in the right way, and you're quite, you know, you're making that connection with the right people for you, you will find that it's the couples who really want the flavour, the kind of feel of their day, more documentary kind of approach, that more kind of relaxed and capture things as it happens, the kind of more spontaneous.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
definitely. Couples, definitely. Yeah, and that's the thing. Everybody's got a different style and different approach to capturing weddings, and that's the great thing about the industry. So if you are, like, we like to, don't get me wrong, we like a few portraits, we like a few, you know, we like to be creative, very small sections of the day, yeah, don't we? And we like to throw that in and feed that into either the films or the photo gallery, but we're definitely not going to spend a lot of time doing that, and it's not going to be the primary thing.
No.
If we didn't get any of that, as long as we didn't think that the couple were going to be disappointed, mm-hmm, we won't be disappointed. We'll make the gallery, we'll make the film out of what we've got. Mm. And hopefully that feels like the couple, because that's what they wanted.
Yeah. I know in time, as we kind of delve more into this, you know, we'll talk about how we kind of articulate this service. We'll talk about marketing yourselves and how you should showcase your work to make sure that you are attracting the couples that do want this service. But I think it will be very obvious for you as to the type of style that you have, whether or not that's something that you feel that you could comfortably pursue, and whether you would attract those couples. And I think, could be completely wrong, so open to discussion and being corrected on this, but I think it would be something probably the photographers, and even the filmmakers who prefer a more posed and editorial style, I think would be perhaps less inclined because
practically, if they need more time to capture those images, mm, which I would say,
yeah,
you're going
absolutely,
to,
if you're doing more planning,
you need the couple to do certain things and it's going to take a bit of time, that doesn't bode well for switching easily between the two or for capturing them both simultaneously.
Yeah.
Not saying you can't do that, and I'm sure there are people that are, but less easy than the documentary style.
Yeah.
So you know, to wrap that up, you don't need to be the best at either. What you really need is just to be competent at both, which is something that you can learn. And if you don't feel like you are there yet, you're in the right place to get some support, some tips for developing both of those skills separately, because every podcast ain't going to be titled Hybrid Something. We're going to focus on photography topics and we're going to focus on videography topics, because, as well as business topics, because that's the great thing. What I've always hated is pigeonholing myself as a photographer or a videographer. I don't think of myself as that. I think of myself as somebody who captures weddings or creates content for businesses and organizations. I don't think of myself as one thing. And I find it hard to actually label myself. Sometimes I use the word photographer because it's easier for people to understand what that is.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sit right, because I know that's not all I do. And if I say filmmaker, they think I'm freaking Spielberg or something. And, and then they're very disappointed to find out that that's not what I'm doing. So,
and I think if there are any business owners that do have experience of working with business clients as well, you will probably actually find, if you've not already done this and you've not already put this into practice within the corporate field, you know, you will find that there is an appetite as well from business owners to find a company that can provide both services. So they're not looking to hire a photographer to do this bit of the content that they need, let's say for, you know, new website, and they want some images, not need to hire a separate photographer and videographer. They'll look to hire one professional where possible who can incorporate both the still images and the moving images with good quality audio as well,
yeah,
into what they're looking for.
Yeah. So the main thing is you keep an open mind and you've got a desire to innovate. And those are the things that will help you the most. And remember, we're going to have to break some rules, you know, for context.
Ooh.
I've seen more people break rules in the past few years than ever before. You know, back in 2006, when I filmed my first wedding, I watched a lot of, you know, YouTube content and I taught myself at that point. I had never had any experience in doing anything like this. So I completely taught myself. I was watching Wedding Film School by Craig Adams, and you know, I think Matt Johnson had just started, and there was a few people doing wedding video stuff out there, and you know, it was very rigid in the way that things were done, and the community in general over the next couple of years as I kind of entered into it, I realized that, you know, people were got very upset about the way that you did things. And you know, when I shot that first wedding, it was, you know, monopods, tripods, sliders. Bought a slider, used it like twice on two weddings. I can even show you the shots of like the first couple of weddings I used it on. Took me that long to get those chuffing shots that it's never been used since. What a waste of time that is. And you know, don't get me wrong, it's good for certain things, but we're not in a studio environment where we're you know, it's not good for out there in weddings. You know, gimbals were in early days. You had to get like one of those early running, massive running efforts that you need a cage to sit it on. You can't just put it on floor. You know, nobody was hand-holding. Right? That would be an embarrassment. You'd be ridiculed if you said you handheld back then. And it was for good reason. There weren't stabilisation and stuff, so it was totally different. Audio was captured in a different way. Everybody was using shotgun mics. It wasn't a priority to mic people up. So, like, you might mic the groom or something during a thing, but you did it with, like, the way that it was being done and where they were teaching it at wedding film school was with a... Because other things didn't exist at the time, and it was a Zoom H1, which, I mean, is a massive, bulky thing. I've just sold mine. I bought one. I've just sold it. Someone bought it straight away, so someone's still using them out there. You know, and you buy a separate lav mic, and there's nothing wrong with these processes, but there's just technology has just changed everything over the last few years, and it's provided a lot more options, and it has meant that people started to break the rules and people started to adapt. That's the thing. The key to all of this is people are slow to change. People don't usually like change, and most people, the majority of people, are slow to take up change. But it's happened, and it's happening. And that's why we can be 100% sure that this will happen, you know? And we're not saying every single person who does photography or videography will be doing hybrid. We're not saying that. What we're saying is more than do it now will be doing it next year, and the year after it will grow and grow and grow, and it will become something that is quite normal. Whereas at the moment, I know it's not the norm.
I think that's a really good point about the technology, actually. So even, you know, consider really, it's not a massive amount of years. It's not a long time that we've been doing this for. But think about the changes, just like you've said, as you were talking about the audio then. Think about how the technology has sort of evolved in that time. You know, more emphasis from your audio, for instance, more emphasis on things being compact, wireless, simple to clip on and off. Really easy to kind of use in different environments, very easily adaptable. From the cameras themselves, we shoot on Sony cameras, we have since the beginning, and I'm sure we'll go into camera bodies that we use, but the fact that the cameras are being made with the ability to switch on a dial, quite simply switch from still image to filmmaking.
And be able to separate settings out and all sorts.
It wasn't like that at the start.
Even when we started, your camera could do video and it could do photo and it could do them both well, but it wasn't geared up for somebody doing both. It was geared up for, you know, somebody who set it up for video or someone who set it up for
photo.
That's
right. And you use that type of camera to take your photographs, and you use that type of camera to do your videos.
Now they're all like that.
Even lighting thing that you would use, even your flashes, everything, it's all becoming the emphasis. Just think, you know, one thing that you're really keen on is efficiency, time efficiency in the way that you work on a wedding day, whether the way that you work in post-production. Everything is kind of moving at a pace where the technology, or those that are making the technology, recognize that this is the way that things go, and that there is a need for these things. And I think it's kind of the more awareness that there is versatility now in the tech that's available. You know, I think that just says an awful lot for where things are going and where they could go to.
Absolutely. So we're not going to go into every single detail, but here's an overview of how we approach a wedding day. Again, it's summarised, so we're not going to be going into massive amounts of detail on every single bit, but we want to go through it from start to finish. When we're doing both photography and videography, we'll briefly talk about doing it together, and then I'll explain the differences if I was just doing it on my own. Just so that you can see, really, like, the thought process and the approach to it is no different than really if you were doing just photo or just video. You're just adapting and innovating a little bit. And that's what we've been doing. And that's just to give you another reason why we're doing this podcast, is because, yes, we're not the only people doing this, but we have been doing this now. Like, it's only when you think about it, we've been doing it since 2018. Mm. We shot our first photo and video wedding. It was Jade and Jack's. Mm. It was in 2018. And honestly, we weren't what you would call accomplished. We'd only been shooting weddings for a year at that point. You know, just doing video, mainly focusing on video. Mm. We'd shot maybe two weddings photography at that point, and we did that wedding doing photo and video. We didn't have any second shooting experience or anything. So, like, that's how we did it. We innovated and didn't worry about how do you do it, how are you supposed to do it. Took what we'd learned from shooting video weddings, took the observations of watching photographers do things a certain way and how they worked, and then saying, well, how could we do it better? And I know that the bits that I've found over the years harder and longer to grasp are the things that, you know, like doing the group shots and feeling good about it, which I still think most photographers don't feel good about doing group shots. Mm. You know, making sure you feel comfortable directing people when you're doing portraits and things like that. Those are the things that I've found the hardest over the years to master. Mm. But the actual capturing the day from a documentary perspective, I think we just constantly over the years tweaked it, didn't we? Mm. To adapt and to innovate a little bit. How could we capture both of these things through photo and video? And you know, what's the priority at that moment? Where would the camera need to be? What kind of lens do we need to use? You know, and the positioning of the cameras. You know, the priority, because that's the thing. I know how much I could talk about this, but you know, the priority, if you're working alongside a photographer as a filmmaker, you know the photographer's going to be in your shot quite a lot and people moan about it. Well, the good thing is when you're doing both photo and video, you can either work in a way where you don't get in your own shot, or you know you're going to be in your own shot and at that moment it's okay. You know, or you know, to get out of your shot because the video is more important at that point than you getting that photo. Mm. And so these are just things that, you know, we've learned. And that's why we want to talk about it, because over the last 5-6 years, this is what we have been mastering.
Yeah, that's it. That's just when you said about what we've learned there. That's the thing. We always said sort of previously in the Mavericks podcast as well, we would always talk about, you know, what we've learned from other videographers, photographers along the way, and that will still continue within this. And I hope that those of you that might be new to listening to us and that will kind of join us along the way, I hope that you'll kind of share that that point of view that, you know, there's so much to be learned from watching other professionals at work. And I think there's certainly a lot to be said for, you know, like Jules has just said, that it's still an uncomfortable thing sometimes doing group shots, doing portraits, but being able to kind of work alongside, whether you're the photographer or videographer, and working alongside your opposite, if you like, whoever's offering the opposite service, there's so much to be gleaned from that. And, you know, just having the confidence and being comfortable with having those discussions between you, you know, I think what's been nice for us along the way is developing really good working relationships with photographers, with other videographers, because, you know, it's great to kind of be able to relate to those awkward moments during the day. It's great to be able to kind of relate to, oh, so how did you get into doing this? Or, you know, what do you enjoy still? What do you not enjoy so much? You know, what's easy, what's difficult? And I think there's just a lot to be said for that. So,
those experiences of working alongside others, even though we're talking about doing it on your own, or we're talking about doing it as a team, not having those relationships necessarily on a wedding day, even though we're talking about that, those relationships over the years have been invaluable to developing what we are doing today.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it doesn't mean you have to do every single wedding as a hybrid tutor. You know, we probably do, you know, we probably do more than a third of them doing just video, or half of them doing just video, or have been doing half of them just doing video, and then some doing photo and then some doing photo and video.
Yeah. So if you are not it, sorry. Just final thing, if you aren't new to either trying out how, but actually no, if you're going to start a business within the wedding industry and you are going to go straight in as a hybrid tutor, I would say that's amazing and very best wishes to you. But I would say, please also don't forget the importance of kind of the constant sort of relearning, be a sponge, constantly absorb what's going on around you. Take the opportunity, whether it's as a second shooter or to take on jobs of your own right, just solely as a photographer or just solely as a videographer.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't forget to still do those.
Yeah.
So this is just us talking about, you know, a new way for you to offer services that has started, that is coming. But please don't forget the value for you as a professional and your development in still doing those things independently as well, because it helps you. It will continue to help you then when you're doing the services as a pair.
Yep, absolutely. So we're just going to go through the day from start to finish. So we'll start with prep. So talk about the way we capture prep usually then, Linz.
So
we'll start the day.
One of us will be with... We'll sort of say that one of us will be with one person, one with the other. So in most cases, not in every case, but in most cases, where there's a bride, I will go to the bride. And then with the groom, Jules will go to the groom and the groomsman. And I prefer always to have a Zoom lens so that I can...
We don't have to be too deep into the equipment, but yeah, that's
fine. Really simple kind of setup for me. I might have a microphone that recorder that Jules has given to me to be able to record any sort of audio from the reading of a card or a letter or anything like that if the opportunity presents itself. But otherwise, I've got one camera body, I've got a Zoom lens, and I've got enough flexibility to be able to capture prep with that person on film and photo.
Yeah. And if you were not with me or like not in the same place, I'd probably put a second camera body in your bag just in case something happens to the first one. But otherwise you would literally have that one camera, one lens. Mm-hmm. So you'd be doing bride prep and you would be switching between photo and video throughout that. So you'd be you've got a few hours usually with bride prep. We usually get there at latest 2 hours before, usually about 3 hours before, and you've got plenty of time, haven't you? So it's stretched out.
Yeah.
Prep is stretched out. You don't need to be shooting all the time.
No, so and you don't need to be present all the time.
You don't need to be present all the time. So you're taking your moments to get video clips, you're taking your moments to get photo, and you intuitively realise which bit's going to look best for which fix. And some of it needs both. And so, like Lindsay's already alluded to it previously, the way the cameras work, you can literally take a photo and then of the same thing, quickly press record. And you've got a video clip that's moving and a photo of the same thing. Let's say bride's having her hair done, she's looking in the mirror, you're getting a reflection shot. Photo, you know, you might take two or three, switch to video. 5 seconds... that can be slowed down if needs be, 5-10 seconds, got it. Mm. Right? That's how easy it is. And we're not trying to simplify it. It's that easy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
that's that. I'll go to the blokes. I've usually got more time because the lads don't get ready till a bit later and they don't need as much time of you capturing them getting ready. So I will do establishing shots. So I'll go out and do the establishing shots, both photo and video, getting shots of the venue. You know, that might include drone. And then I'll go to the blokes and I will do the same as what Lindsay's doing with bride prep, but I'll just switch between photo and video. Mm-hmm. Again, I've got microphone if need to get the any letter readings or cards or anything. And I've usually got plenty of time then to do two things. One is to set up for the ceremony so I can get tripods in the right place. I can have scouted out the ceremony. I'll take a little picture on my phone, send it to Lindsay. This is because she's not going to see it probably. Or if we're at the venue already and we've got time, you will come and have a look. But that's what the ceremony room looks like, and this is where I'm going to stand, and that's where you should stand. And that's basically how we do it. You know, we just communicate through that prep phase. So we're ready to basically come into the ceremony just before it happens and go for it. Now, it's slightly different if we're in different locations, like, you know, one part of the wedding party is getting ready in one place and one's in another place. Mm-hmm. If they're not at the venue, obviously, that causes a bit of an issue. If they're getting a church wedding, it makes it a little bit more complicated. But we've done plenty of church weddings, plenty of where they're getting ready in separate, you know, their separate homes or whatever. And we've done it exactly this way. The only difference when that happens is we don't usually get back together before the ceremony because of any traveling and things like that. If they're all getting ready like close together or in the same venue, which you do get most, I'd say most weddings are like that, then at the point before the ceremony, once everything's set up and I've got all the guys and I've got some of the guests arriving and things like that and the build up, Lindsay's stayed with the whoever's getting ready, the bride or whatever. And then I'll come up and for the reveal, we'll do that together so that I can be on photo and Lindsay can be on video and we can capture that. But if you're not, I'll explain how to do that in a second. So that's basically how simple it is. The only bit that I didn't mention is usually when we first arrive, we'll go and say hello to the bride and we'll do the details. So we'll do the details together, usually because we find that the two of us moving dresses and accessories and things. Lindsay's really good at putting stuff out and I'll capture it or we'll do a bit, you'll do a bit of video and I'll do a bit of photo. But we usually do it like that just because it's quicker and it gets it out of the way. If obviously we can't do it like that, then we work around that.
And I think when you, it's nice to kind of vocalise that to your bride or your groom as well, because you're letting them know that you're here as a team, and in terms of the disruption and the fuss around their dress or their outfit that they're wearing and all their accessories, they'll be moved once. And they'll kind of be titivated and whatnot once, and then they'll be put back, and you let them know where you're putting them back to. And then it kind of gives this, and particularly when, like you were saying, so towards the end of that particular segment of the prep, for the reveal or for any portraits that might come with family members right before the ceremony, before they're to kind of make their way down for the ceremony, it gives this sort of feel of sort of seamlessness almost.
Because we're working in tandem together, and I'm doing, you know, the photographer needs this and the videographer needs that. It's just nice and seamless, isn't it? Plus, if for whatever reason I couldn't do it, you know, I couldn't get back or whatever, Lindsay's there ready to do it. It's just that it's easier to do that as a team. Those bits are easier to do as a team. So again, we've covered the establishing and stuff, and then we go to the ceremony, and typically we're going to have a tripod at the front and a tripod at the back, and that's going to be like safety / main cameras for video. And then what we'll do is one of us will be at the front, one of us will be at the back. We'll both have a camera that we're going to be able to use for photo. So essentially what you're getting there is you're getting a videographer at the front, a videographer at the back, a photographer at the front, and a photographer at the back. And it might be different depending on the ceremony setup and where you're getting married, but that's a typical way we do it. And you're getting those two angles from both photo and video perspectives. And we can, with our photo cameras, also switch to video if we want to get particular close-up bits of certain shots. So, for instance, during a photo, during the ceremony, if they're saying vows to each other, it's nice to get a photo of a smile you know, a reaction to words that are said or whatever. But essentially, other than the odd smile, most of the ceremony, the photos mean nothing. You know, the walking down the aisle means something. The looking at each other, you know, facial reactions, things like that. They do mean something. But most of the time, they're stood looking at a registrar or a vicar. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get loads and loads of photos of that. So you can quite easily, through a ceremony, most ceremonies, switch between photo and video at moments that feel intuitive and get good shots of both. Obviously, the first kiss, you're going to want to get that on photo. So, you know, you have a way of working that. And you've got a second camera on a tripod next to you that's going to be getting it on video, as is the camera that's looking down the aisle from the back that's on video as well. And that's probably going to be your best one for the first kiss. So can you see where I'm going? It's understanding how these things work to get the camera in the right position. Mm-hmm. So we're using four cameras basically on a wedding day. And you could do it with less technically, but we like to have two dedicated video cameras, two dedicated mm-hmm. photo cameras mm-hmm. that can be all used for both photo and video at different points. We then go to the afterwards, probably going to do kind of a confetti shot and leaving the church. Again, so leaving the church or leaving the ceremony, me and Lindsay will be next to each other. At that point, one of us is focusing on photo, one of us is focusing on video. So we're capturing them leaving the ceremony doing that. It's the same during the confetti. One of us is on photo, one of us is on video. So we're kind of both covering what you would expect from having separate photographers and videographers at that point. And then we go to the drinks reception. And that's where we'll again revert back to doing a bit of both, won't we?
Yeah.
So Lindsay will focus on candids, mainly with like the guests and everything. She'll do photo and video. So she'll be switching between them and getting some nice candid photos as mm-hmm. well as candid video footage. I will be focusing more on the group shots and the portraits. We might come together for the portraits if we've got time.
Yeah.
Lindsay will usually go get photo and video of the details inside. So we're basically a two-person team getting both photo and video, and this allows us to get that full coverage yeah. of the day.
Which is particularly beneficial for later weddings. So when you have a ceremony that might be 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, the venue will be looking to get people seated anything from between 3:30 perhaps, maybe to sit down at 4. Yeah. So you'll all know too well when you feel like you're chasing your tails and your feet have literally not touched the ground because you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got an hour, I've got 45 minutes and I've got to do this, this and this. So that for us, because we know, and I guess now because we've used this format over and over in our film and photography weddings, we know that that's a formula that works for us and that makes sure that we're ticking those boxes. We're making sure that we've remembered to get all of those elements, if you like. And still, we're taking every opportunity there to make sure that we provide what we've set out to, what we've promised the couple, and that's full coverage of everything. So what you would expect to see if you were a solo photographer, what you would expect to see if you're a solo videographer attending someone's wedding, that approach, that's the formula that has enabled us to make sure that we're doing that and including all
and,
that.
And in many respects, you're actually getting a second shooter for each discipline as well, essentially. You know, it's almost that kind of level of coverage. We're not comparing it to the best of the best having a second shooter, but we're comparing it to, you know, the average person. You are, you know, you're getting like very comprehensive coverage. What we deliver is comprehensive. You know, we're talking 500 to 1,000 stills, a doc edit and a short creative film. That's what we're creating when we're doing this format. So then the entrance, again, we'll usually, it depends, we could do that photo and video, both be doing photo both and have videos on tripods. Most of the time we will just have one of us focus video, one of us focus on photo. And then we're going to go to the speeches. And the speeches is, again, I'll usually do photo and Lindsay will usually do the video. And two cameras doing the video and I'll have two cameras doing the photo. And then we get to the first dance and the dance floor. Again, we usually have those separate disciplines. But then we also like to mix it up a little bit, don't we? Because, you know, if we're there in the evening for a while, it's a really good time to be creative and to try different things. So we've both got cameras. We'll both basically go around taking photos and videos. So, and it's, you know, in addition to all the stuff that we talked about with like four cameras and everything, we've got lighting. So we've got both flash strobe lights and we've got constant LEDs so that we can do use both should we need to for the different disciplines. And then we have other bits of kit, like might use a gimbal for some small parts like a confetti or an exit from a ceremony, or I might use it during the portraits. And again, I've got a camera on a strap and I can do the gimbal. I can walk with the gimbal, get the walking shot. And then when we get to wherever we get to, take a photo and there's the portrait. So there are lots of ways. And then sometimes we'll do that together, won't we? But it'll just depend on the wedding and the timeline and the couple and everything. So that's doing it as a team. So if I'm doing this on my own, it's very similar. But what you've got to be really clear about is what you're going to deliver to the couple. So the couple need to know that this is a hybrid, this is a highlights of the day. You're not going to be able to provide the same comprehensive full photo and video coverage as what you would be able to cover with two of you or more of you. You've got to be clear about that so that there's no, you know, expectations are set and there's no misunderstandings of what you're going to get. Plus, you can't be saying you're going to be able to be in two places at once. So if they're getting ready in completely separate places, you've got to be clear that you're not going to be able to capture that. Obviously, if they're in the same, getting ready in the same hotel or venue, it's possible to do this. But you've got to be clear about timelines and what you can and can't fit into that time. You are there to do that job. You know, you don't need to be like, oh, well, I'd rather do it this way. Do what feels comfortable. And if it's possible to capture both of them, a bit of both of them getting ready, then I think that's fine. That's not stretching yourself too much, as long as you are clear about what time you need to do stuff and when you need that to happen. And the only other issue really you've got if you're doing it by yourself is those moments where you can't really switch between. You know, they're happening once, they're happening quick. It's very difficult to switch the camera, take some photos, then put it on video. It's not impossible and you can do it that way, but I wouldn't recommend it because it's putting a lot of pressure on you. And if something goes wrong with a camera, if it bricks it and you can't get to work, it's going to be a problem. So things like the first look, like with dad or bridesmaids, an aisle walk coming into the ceremony, confetti and exit, these sorts of things are really difficult to do as a solo shooter, both photo and video. But the way you get around it is you use a tripod or a monopod, or you have some kind of device where you can connect two cameras together. This is something that I haven't perfected it yet, but I am working on a way of having a camera two cameras that I can basically capture photo and video on, and it works really well. I've tried stuff over the years, I've not quite got there yet, but I'm close to getting something that works really well. And being able to capture both of them at the same time and them being really good quality. So it's about being able to adapt to that, and then you get the coverage that they're looking for, and you're doing it at the same time by yourself. And we won't go into the whys you might do that, but it's possible. And if you're just offering a very simple highlight film, it's more than possible to provide photography and videography as a solo shooter. Again, it's all about setting expectations with your client. So I hope that's been useful to listen to how we cover both photography and videography in a wedding day. On next week's episode, we'll be going through the reasons to learn to shoot hybrid. It will hopefully give you a great insight for whether it's something that you have considered or something you are thinking about, or if you think it's a bad idea. You know, it'll kind of not necessarily change your opinion, but give you a different take on it. It would mean so much to us if you'd share the podcast with other people, can get something from it so that we can continue to grow. And please, if you have any questions, fire them over on Instagram. Our new home for the podcast content is at your.story.studios. That's our main business. That's where we're going to be putting everything going forward, so that we don't have to have all these different Instagram accounts and all different websites and everything. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.